The Bulldogs Extra Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of handmade-to-order chicken, salads, and more than a dozen mild-to-wild sauces. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today.
From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, don't win it!
From the Athens Banner-Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
All right. Happy New Year. Can we still say that? It's January, what is it?
Six.
We record this. We are into January. Sugar Bowl win is behind for the Georgia Bulldogs. A great evening night, I guess late night, for the Bulldog Nation.
Early morning.
For those that showed up on the, what did they announce the attendance of that game?
55,000 something.
211. Yeah, probably close. More Baylor fans there. But all right, as we record this, the Jake Fromm watch is on. We'll be checking our phones to see if Jake posts on one of his social media accounts that he's either staying or going to the NFL. Are you going to be distracted as we do this podcast, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, probably not as much as you because you're the constant tweeter checker. By the way, that's Mark Weiser, the Georgia beat writer. And I'm Ryan Dennis, the sports editor of the Athens Banner-Herald. Go for it, Mark.
All right, and Georgia basketball is hot, coming off a win over number 9 Memphis. We'll talk about that, all that, and more. News of the day happening, I guess, what was it, about an hour and a half ago, is Tua Tagovailoa. He's going to the NFL, and I still can't pronounce his last name right.
I'm glad Georgia didn't play him that often.
Yeah. Tua declaring for the draft. That's another player in the pool that Jake Fromm would enter, would go up against if he chose to go. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, Jacob Eason, Jordan Love would think. My thinking from, I guess, educated guess is the way to say it, talking to folks, is that before the Sugar Bowl, I would have said, you know what, Jake's coming back. He goes out. Leads the Bulldogs to a Sugar Bowl win, throws for 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. And now you think, well, maybe he's going to look at it more closely. He didn't reveal much when we talked to him before the game. So, you know what? Let's really not try to project too much. Let's just let Jake tell us when he's going to tell us. And I imagine that would be before we podcast again now, which probably going to do once a week now here as we head into the football offseason. Ryan, I know I know you're a big gambling guy, so what you got? Nah, you don't have to say.
Yeah, I lost 150. Oh, you're not talking about the actual gambling down in New Orleans. Well, I mean, I think you were leading to you felt that he might go after the... After the Sugar
Bowl. I think the Sugar Bowl result,
right.
His showing...
He might have more of a decision about going to the NFL. Right. But did he have a good showing? I mean, you know, you think of some passes. I remember Tyler Simmons was off way on the sideline, but then again, you saw Kirby run up to Tyler and act like he ran the wrong route.
Yeah.
You think of some underthrown balls, maybe on that flea flicker he underthrew to George Pickens. Maybe if you let him more, that's an easy touchdown.
I'm not saying he was Joe Burrow out there. I'm just saying he was better than he has been.
Percentage-wise, yes. But, you know, you think, and it wasn't like a stellar performance. I think you look back to maybe Florida game was a stellar performance by Jake Fromm. It wasn't that type of performance. But I still say it's a coin flip. But I'm part of me, the gambling part of me would put it on him coming back because I think he's a he just seems like that type of guy that's a college quarterback, loves college, and would want to come back, maybe unfinished business, so to speak, and try to lead this team to a national title.
If he does come back, Georgia looks like a playoff contender. Given what they have back on defense, particularly, and then a lot of the young talent on offense coming back. Kirby got a Gatorade bath after his Sugar Bowl win.
Hey, that was on today, by the way. Did you watch that full bath? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, it was before the tour.
Did he like it or did he?
Well,
not
I mean, I don't
like
think
it.
Anyone likes getting, you know.
But I thought he was excited the first like 5 times I saw it. And then rewatching it today, it seemed like he was very upset by it. I don't know.
I have a bottle of water right here. If I dump this on your head, will you be excited or not?
I mean, if I just won a Sugar Bowl, I might be excited about it.
All right. Hey, by the way, I just noticed you. What do you know? It's like 60 degrees out. You wearing shorts in here?
I'm going for a little run through campus here in about about an hour and a half.
Well, you got to kind of produce this podcast and post it out there.
It'll get up. Dang.
All right. The reason I bring that up with Kirby and the dumping of the Gatorade, What did you notice this bowl season? The French fries in the Idaho Potato Bowl that was dumped on the coach.
It was Ohio.
Frank Solich.
Solich, thank you.
Yeah. I like that. Which fries would you like to get dumped on you? And of course, you got to say Zaxby's because they're a proud sponsor. But if we're going to talk about some other fries,
you know,
yeah, we probably can't do it. It's against.
Well, I'm just thinking for local.
In general, though, would you enjoy fries getting poured on your head?
Yeah, I mean, if I could eat them shortly after. But you know, you think about those fresh cut fries. It's just like a potato that seems to be just, you know, diced up right there. That's the good type of fries right there.
Like, you know, on a boardwalk, you get like, you dump a bunch of vinegar on it on like those kind of fries.
Oh, that yeah. sounds awful.
Yeah, you don't want those dumped on you with the vinegar on there. Oh. What about the Sun Bowl now? Isn't that the Frosted Flakes Bowl? It's called the Tiger Bowl.
It's great. Yeah.
And so that was dumped on the coach of that team that won that one. What am I missing?
Got one for you.
What?
Arizona State's coach, Herman.
What did he get dumped
on? It was the Cheez-It Bowl.
Oh, the Cheez-It Bowl he got
dumped on? Yeah, I got a bunch of Cheez-Its dumped on. That'd be good. I love me some Cheez-Its.
All right.
You a Cheez-It guy?
Not recently, no.
I mean, I go reduce fat, and they're
well, if
good.
You eat a whole box of it, it's still not really
I don't. I eat a few
much.
With lunch every day. But anyway, yeah, I'd like for those to get dumped on.
A few
on me.
With
That'd
lunch
be good.
Every day.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll get back to football and less about food stuff getting poured on heads. This is Mark Weiser with Ryan Dennis from the Athens Banner-Herald and online athens.com. This is the Bulldogs Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. All right, it seems like it's been more than a week ago since the Sugar Bowl, but it hasn't. It's only been 5 days, I guess. But, you know, the storyline that we talked about on the podcast before the Sugar Bowl was all the guys missing. It was more than a dozen. We didn't know what that would mean. Would Georgia be missing too many key parts? Would the team not be motivated with, you know, many of their leaders that they had during the season, like a J.R. Reed, gone? But you know what happened? I mean, it was kind of sloppy to begin with, and nobody looked really good, but then they jumped out to a 19-0 lead, and this did look like a very motivated, focused team, and I can't remember which player. I guess it was 19-0 until the third quarter. One of the players was talking about, before, I guess it was Fromm that said before the game that they were going to be a team that wasn't going to be out-competed or out-hit, something to that effect, and I think that's fair to say. I think, you know, you saw guys... doing the small things that lead to victory, and you saw that Georgia's loaded roster, meaning you go down deeper and deeper on the sideline, and you still have 4-star guys that you can roll out there on 5-star guys in occasion to replace the guys you're missing.
Yeah, and I think last year might have played a big part. I think, you know, as much as they said it didn't maybe factor into how they played this year, I think they were a little bit embarrassed by how last year turned out. But, yeah, that was another thing they kept talking about was kind of that next guy up type deal, which, you know, you say is cliche, but I think they really approached it like that with, like, Lewis Seen. You know, Richard LeCount had to move over to J.R. Reed's spot for most of the night. And then you had other guys come in. I know DJ Daniel played a lot. He'd been playing a lot all year, but it seemed like his role expanded even more along the defensive front there. You know, guys rolling in and out with Tyler Clark out of the game. And, yeah, I think they, you know, they said a lot. They wanted to play for the seniors, let them go out the right way, which, you know, some of those guys last year didn't get a chance to do that because of, you know, how the game turned out and all. So, yeah, it was and we got to walk in the locker room right after the game and, you know, it was genuine celebration. I think they were happy to kind of get a redo of last year's Sugar Bowl. You know, I don't know if they were excited to be back there again, but it did seem like they were excited to play in the game, you know, and once it finally got rolling around. And I think that proved and showed their depth, like you said, and also, you know, they were much more motivated this year to play in it than they were last year.
Ryan, as you were speaking, I did notice some breaking news from is that about 4 hours ago though? But yeah. I didn't see it before. Judge Judy threw her hat into the ring and endorsed a presidential candidate for the 2020 race. Did you see this?
No, I thought maybe she was throwing her hat in the ring to be president.
I thought Judge Judy was going to reveal that Jake Fromm's decision. No,
who's she backing?
I would say, but you know, I don't want you to kind of be persuaded. It's a Michael Bloomberg. He's a Republican.
Ooh.
There was a Republican when he was the New York mayor. Now he's in the Democratic field. You might have noticed he's spent a lot of money on advertising in the state.
More than everybody else combined, apparently.
In this state?
Well, I know nationwide.
Yeah. All right, getting back to the football. look, we knew George Pickens was a very good football player. We saw it a lot this season.
Yeah.
But we also saw times like the first half of the Georgia Tech game and the first half of the SEC Championship game where George Pickens was not able to play. But with Georgia missing Dom Blalock, still missing Lawrence Cager, and missing a guy that could catch a couple passes in Brian Herrien. Who else am I missing in terms of guys that are like in the throw game?
Well, I mean, you could count Swift into that.
Sure.
Limited seeds was.
Yeah. Revelation. If you know, we talk about Jake Fromm and reasons to come back. This is a whoever Georgia's starting quarterback is next year, you know, assuming that George Pickens can have a productive offseason and not get into any kind of trouble, which he's run into a couple times, he's going to be one of the best wide receivers, certainly in the SEC and probably nationwide. I mean, when you go out in the first half and catch as many passes as he did, and by the end of the game he had 12 for what was 175 yards, something like that.
Yeah, 11 of those came in the first half. I mean, it was clear who Jake trusted and wanted to go to.
12 for 175 yards with a touchdown. Pretty damn impressive, and his sophomore year is going to be even, you know, he's going to draw more coverage. But you know what? Georgia's also going to have some more guys around him in this recruiting class, three top 15 wide receivers. How many catches? What did he end up with this year, like 47, 48?
Yeah, it was third most, I think, by a freshman in Georgia history.
Is he a guy that's going to get 60-plus next year?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
And especially if he can play, you know, in first halves when he didn't a couple times this year.
Right.
I mean, he's a stud, and I think he proved it the other day. Maybe we'll be looking back at that Sugar Bowl saying, you know, this is the George Pickens breakout game, even though he had some moments throughout the year. I think, you know, with a full season with Georgia and all under his belt, I think it could be special, yeah.
All right, Georgia's makeshift offensive line clearly, you know, was not ideal in terms of what you wanted, losing down both your starting tackles as well as Ben Cleveland, one of your starting guards, at least for some of the season. 380 yards of total offense. Georgia had 130 rushing, 250 passing. I thought Fromm had a lot of time to pass for a good portion of the game, but then it seemed like the walls collapsed and he got sacked three times in, I don't know, was it a couple series?
Yeah, I think Cade was beat on a couple of those left tackle, but...
Really? Is that who you're pointing out there?
Yeah, that's who I noticed.
I haven't watched the replay of the game yet, but I know at least one of them was on Cade, and I'll have to go back and look at it more carefully. Warren Erickson, starting right guard, redshirt freshman. Look, he was part of the deal, and they were productive enough. Whether he has done enough to, you know, go into spring as a starter, I don't know. I mean, they got some big-time recruits coming in as well that you might have seen in some of these All-Star games. What'd you make of kind of how they managed to get through?
Well, I thought they held up pretty well, all things considered. But, you know, you think of two guys in there with Jamari and Cade. I mean, that's guys with experience. So you lose two good tackles, but then you put two five-stars in at those positions. I guess the big question was, how would Warren Erickson do? And it appeared that he held up pretty well. And I'll tell you something else that's funny to see was Matt Luke on the sideline. Man, he's a ball of energy, isn't he, over there on the sideline?
Certainly is. I want to get a chance to talk to him after the game, but in the locker room, we had 20 minutes, and I never even saw him. Did get a chance to talk a little bit with Dan Lanning, talk to Todd Hartley, and even had a brief conversation as well with now what appears to be former special teams coordinator Scott Fountain. And I guess we'll just mention that now. I was going to mention that later on, but they still haven't announced it at Arkansas, but looks like he's going to be hired by Sam Pittman as the new special teams coach there, which... You know, a lot of times you don't know exactly what goes on behind the scenes. Did Kirby need to make room to hire someone else for on offense to supplement, you know, assuming that he doesn't change coordinators? James Coley, do they bring in somebody that can, you know, more modernize the offense or just come up with some more ideas?
The Joe Brady effect, is that what we're calling it?
You know, don't know, but you do have Todd Hartley on staff who has a background coaching special teams at Miami. Also played a role in doing that at Marshall. So maybe he would take on that responsibility. Kirby would obviously let us know sometime once he makes a hire.
Would he?
Louis Sine, let's talk about him getting back to the, you know, the guys that he played. He told me he played every snap in the game except for one package, I guess, when they were in their base package, and I don't know how much they were in that in this game. I think that's what he said. I need to go back and listen to the tape. But I noticed on one play in particular, you know, just watching it live from the press box, not even, you know, on the replay and all that stuff. I know he took the maybe didn't do a great job of tackling on the perimeter. And I was thinking, whoa, that's where you kind of you miss a J.R. Reed just because of his experience. But when you look at the final numbers for the game for Louis Cine, it stood up pretty well. As I pull it up here, six tackles, which is second on the team, all solo tackles. Seemingly a pretty strong showing from Louis Cine. And what'd you think about him in this game?
Well, like I said a second ago, I mean, he had to come in. I guess he kind of took more of a LeCount role from what I was talking to Dan Lanning afterward, because LeCount had to move over to JR's role. So, you know, I think that's a kind of a sign for the future. You know, I thought maybe Otis Reese might play a little more this game. Didn't seem that he was getting as much playing time. So I guess that just proves the you know type of player that Louis is and what the, you know might be to come. And I guess he's the guy that might get thrown right into the fire. I guess we'll see more at G-Day game and through spring practice and all where they're thinking about him. But I mean, he's a player, and you know, when you have to fill a role of a Thorpe Award finalist and an All-American. And I think the experience that he was able to gain in the Sugar Bowl, you know, it's going to be valuable going forward.
All right, need to move along as we have some basketball interviews coming up at the bottom of the
not
hour.
On, not on here.
No, but
we got to go to
going over to Stegman,
yeah.
To the practice facility. All right, on the Twitter over the weekend, safety Richard LeCount, defensive lineman Malik Herring. Now, they don't say explicitly, but they indicate very strongly that they're back, which is good news. Malik Herring had five tackles and I think it was 1.5 for loss.
Yeah, I thought he played a really good game the other day. He was in the backfield quite a bit.
And Richard LeCount with a couple of interceptions in this game, and definitely will be you know, my first thought when LeCount was announced back is, we'll be seeing him in where's it? Is it back in Atlanta this year? The SEC Media Days. I think it's back in Atlanta.
Yeah, it might be. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, was he there this year? Who was there this year? I feel like I've seen him there before. I don't know.
Then we get
no,
did
it was
get
JR.
JR.
I think we got JR a couple times.
Got so. Jake, JR, and Swift. So, I'm saying.
So maybe we'll get LeCount. All right, we no, haven't no, even no. mentioned yet.
We but had Andrew Thomas. Sorry,
haven't even mentioned yet. But two-time 1,000-yard rusher DeAndre Swift. Did we mention that he's gone to the NFL? No surprise. Took him less than 48 hours to announce that, and he probably knew this like months and months ago. But give him credit, I guess, for sticking with the team and doing what he could to help out a little bit with the flea flicker. Had one carry in the game. I think he also went out for a as a target on that 2-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go down, you know, as obviously with his breakout SEC championship run against Auburn and, you know.
You know, looking back at his freshman year, he was kind of overshadowed by Sony and
sure.
Nick, but yeah. He had some big moments. Yeah. I mean, he had some big runs.
Yeah, top six or top seven in rushing.
All time?
In Georgia history. Mm-hmm. Might want to check out my story that I posted right when he announced. I don't remember exactly where it was because it's been like 4 or 5 days, right? Like, no surprise there. Zamir White, though, you got to be impressed. I wrote about him before the championship game. I thought he might have this kind of breakout game, and he did. 18 carries, 92 yards, showed a little bit more burst than maybe you had seen previously. Looks like you know, next season will be 2 years removed from his last ACL injury. So
still a little jumpy. I mean, I know no one to speak, but you know, it's, you know, I think he told you know, when you spoke to him, he was talking about how he could maybe use to. Not jump around, dance around as much, and he just hit the hole straight. And
yeah.
Still a little bit of that, but yeah, it was a good sign that he could run the way he did, especially on that big 15-yard touchdown run after the fake field goal the other day. That was probably his best run of the day, and he did look explosive doing that.
Matt Landers, his first touchdown catch as a Bulldog, and I think folks were very, teammates in particular, were very happy to see Landers with the TD grab there on the touchdown from Prom there in the second half. Second quarter, I guess. 1:51 left. 16-yard touchdown pass. Look, I was expecting those type of plays from him this season after he had a kind of an up and down spring game, but you saw a lot of positives, and you know maybe he can carry this into the offseason and you know be one of their guys that they can count on. You know, as a complimentary wide receiver, as one of these targets along with Pickens and Blaylock when he comes back, and we'll talk about some of the other guys that they have. So, look, Georgia's going to be a top five finish, I would think. I would guess that Oklahoma is going to maybe drop to 6 behind Georgia and Oregon. Who knows? I had Oregon at 5 and Georgia at 6 on my last AP poll, and we'll see. I have to study that more. But what's a better win, you think? Georgia over Baylor in the Sugar or Oregon over Wisconsin in the Rose? Kind of even.
Probably even. I you know, for some reason it feels like Oregon's win was a bigger win, maybe because the circumstances around it. The Rose always seems to be a big game. You
it's the granddaddy of them all. Did
exactly.
you know that?
I did know that. Georgia won that 2 years ago. I don't know if you were there or saw it on TV, but oh, you're wearing your shirt right now. Look at this.
Wearing
guy.
My Rose Bowl
absolutely
sweatshirt right now.
But yeah, I give the edge to Oregon a little bit. You know, as much as Baylor has had a good year and should have beat Oklahoma twice to go undefeated, honestly. Yeah, I just think that still had to feel that it was Baylor in football, you know, and maybe that's why it doesn't feel like it was as big as the Rose.
All right, don't forget to shoot us a review at the Apple Store or Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We appreciate that. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Bulldogs Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. All right, the move from the football season to the kind of the thick of the basketball season as SEC play starts up is coming in quite a role for Georgia with a big victory on the road against Memphis, as we mentioned, and now the latest net rankings came out. That's the used to be we talked about the RPI, now the NCAA came up with their net rankings. Georgia is 36 today. Kentucky is 37.
A huge jump by Georgia after that.
I think it was like 20 spots, yeah.
And I even want to say that they were in the 80s before beating SMU a couple weeks
sure.
ago.
So. Yeah. So not only do you get this road win, and this is a CBS national television window that Georgia had, and I didn't pay enough attention, but Crean mentioned on the radio that this also like was a lead into the NFL game. I guess it was. Was that right? Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Did the CBS have the 4 o'clock NFL
Shoot,
game Saturday?
I can't remember. No, ESPN did.
Oh, all right. So he was on it. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, that guy.
Anyway, Anthony Edwards is your stud, your bell cow. Everyone tunes in to watch him. And you know what? He had a bad game in terms of like statistically.
Yeah.
Made some key shots, but you know, Georgia wins anyway, despite your stud player not playing, you know, one of his best games. Now, Memphis was missing their number two scorer. He was sick. He was out on the bench. But the Bulldogs get a big game from Rayshon Hammonds, get another nice game from freshman point guard Sevier Wheeler.
That guy.
The junior college.
Donnell Gresham.
The junior college, the grad transfer, Donnell Gresham.
Yeah, had a couple big threes there.
Yeah. And he's really started hitting that three ball pretty well.
They said he was a 41%. I guess we should know that covering the team, but he's a 41%.
Yeah, I think he had three or four in one of the previous games. All right, Georgia's got number 14 Kentucky coming to town on Tuesday, and then go to unbeaten and number 5 Auburn on Saturday. My take on this is you get one of these two wins, it's a good week.
Absolutely.
And
you know,
especially
if you look,
coming off the Memphis win.
If you look respective, say they beat Kentucky and look good, you know, down at Auburn and lose, I think that's a good sign. And I keep saying it. I mean, the best get out of this class seems to be Sevier. I mean, obviously, you know, Anthony Edwards is the stud and the guy. But, I mean, going maybe a year or two into the future, what Sevier Wheeler's doing and his calm and poise as a freshman, that might be the best recruit they got out of that class.
Look, I think I mentioned this before, but like for instance, Kentucky's coming to town, and Evansville beat Kentucky this year. Kentucky, Evansville is in the 220th or something in the net rankings.
Is that a bubble?
Is Kentucky a bubble?
Is Evansville on the bubble at the Aggies?
Yeah, no. But my point is, Georgia doesn't have a bad non-conference loss.
Yeah.
And look, I haven't looked at the entire 1-14 of the SEC. Like, I don't know what the lowest SEC team is, but you avoid that in the non-conference. And as much as the win at Memphis is huge, Georgia's first top 10 road win.
Non-conference.
You know, in any way.
Oh, okay. I'm going to see where you're going.
Since 2004.
I was going to top that with the Louisville game from 78 or something like that.
Yeah. But I'm more impressed with you haven't done it. I mean, you had a chance to win some road. I mean, Georgia doesn't play historically. Like, you're not getting on. If you're playing a non-conference top, you know, a non-conference ranked team, more often than not, that's in one of these neutral site games. Mm-hmm. It's in a tournament somewhere, like in an island. It's not on a home court. They don't do that too often.
Right.
So to get, I mean, the fact that you have, it's been since 2004 that you've had any kind of road top 10 win. It's impressive to do that, but also impressive for Georgia to avoid the screw up bad loss in the non conference. It could really hurt you when it becomes a bubble time anyway. So good for that. I guess we'll make a quick mention. Story we had on Friday. We get some recruiting violations back, which they put out every. I think it's supposed to be every 3 months, they say, but we got it like a 6 month window. Several sports. Three for football, but one in football in particular jumped out. Some free and discounted apparel from March 2017 to January 2019. And the NCAA fined Georgia $10,000 for this. Now, it's kind of part of a negotiated deal where there's some give and take. But they also, and I don't know if this was more Georgia's end than the NCAA or the SEC chimed in, but they reduced official visits by 4 this recruiting cycle, evaluation days by 9, and they're not going to recruit this unnamed high school for 2 years. Ryan?
That's interesting.
Are you saying now that this will knock Georgia out of the SEC championship game next year?
No.
Yeah, it's not really hurting their recruiting, as we can see, as Georgia now is up to number 3 in recruiting. We saw a couple of support staffers on the recruiting staff. One get fired, the other took a severance pay and left. And now they're not named in this report that Georgia put out as a summary of their violations, but I'm sure the timing... I mean, I guess it could be coincidence, but it's probably not, you would guess. I mean, they're not saying. But as we said, not hurting recruiting. And as we close, let's just remind you that even though 5-star running back Zach Evans, who I talked to about a week ago, is looking less likely in Georgia's class, as he said he was going to announce at the Under Armour game and then did not. You know, if he signed and Georgia's not sending it, processing the letter, maybe they're concerned about the fact that he... got disciplined and didn't even play in his state title game. Maybe he's got some other issues that they've learned about when they've checked out his background. In any event, 5-star Keely Ringo from played in Arizona, mm-hmm. is announced at the All-American Bowl in San Antonio that he's a Bulldog. He's already signed. Georgia announced it immediately, just like they did with 5-star tight end Darnell Washington. And when you talk about the three top 15 wideouts, you might want to include Darnell Washington in there as well.
That dude is a monster.
6'8", 250-ish.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He looks like looks like a freaking well-trained stallion.
Right. So you've seen Georgia go up against some really good tight ends this past season, whether it was Kolkhamed at Notre Dame. Florida has a really good tight end that hurt Georgia. Maybe Georgia's going to be the one now. You know, Isaac Nauta made some plays during his time here, but this could be a special guy as well. And Ryan, I know you're breaking down the recruiting class. We look forward to your report on the next podcast that you kind of, you know, break down in your basement all of the recruits and the targets remaining.
Yeah, absolutely. That seems to be only one, but I mean, you know, that official signing day always seems to... Hey, while we're at it, I mean, I know this isn't directly Georgia-related, but could be our local Prince Avenue quarterback Brock Vandergriff decommitted, I think, on New Year's Day. So I know the Bulldog Nation has their eyes on that guy because he's either the one or two quarterback in the 2021 class. So there's a little breakdown on that as we get ready to wrap up here.
That's the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. It's brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of handmade-to-order chicken, salads, and more than a dozen mild-to-wild sauces. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today.